It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, December 16th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, Facebook will get a big index upgrade. Standard & Poor's will add the social network company to its S&P 500 and S&P 100 indexes, proof perhaps that Facebook's come a long way since its bungled IPO of 2012. But what will a spot on the S&P do for the company and for investors? Marketplace's Amy Scott breaks it down for us.
In some ways, joining the S&P 500 is a symbolic achievement. Facebook's share price will now be reflected in one of the most widely followed measures of the stock market.
It means the company has arrived. It means that it's one of the 500 largest companies by market value in the United States.
Finance professor James Angel of Georgetown University says it also means more investors will buy the stock. That's because of mutual funds that try to match the returns of an index like the S&P. Internet analyst Tom Forte is with Telsey Advisory Group.
Those index funds will now have a portion devoted to shares of Facebook. So if you think of it loosely in kind of a supply-demand framework, demand for shares of Facebook has gone up.
That's why Facebook's stock rose on the news and likely will again when it officially joins the index. But back to symbolism, Forte says the debut also represents a coming of age of social networking stocks. There are now three big-time market players, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
By now, most smartphone owners are used to signing away their private life every time they download an app. It's like terms of service. Not only is it too long to read, if you don't agree, you don't get what you want. So some users were psyched when Android's 4.3 operating system offered a new feature. Peter Eckersley at the Electronic Frontier Foundation explains.
This feature would actually let you say, yeah, I'm going to install this app, but I don't want to give it permissions to know my location, or I don't want to let it read my address book.
Users' excitement over the new set of controls was short-lived, though. The new Android update doesn't have the feature, which Eckersley says has users facing a tough choice.
If you're running on Android and you really care about privacy versus apps, you might not want to accept the upgrade. But on the other hand, there are some potential security issues with staying with an older version.
Google told the Electronic Frontier Foundation releasing the feature in the first place had been a mistake. Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please consider making a tax-deductible gift in any amount to Marketplace today. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. All this week, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin. The cryptocurrency's price has soared. Banks and governments are starting to pay attention and talk regulation of the digital cash. We plan to talk about everything from how to make it to who is holding it. But first, what the heck is Bitcoin? We got a listener question on the subject for our regular Techsplainer segment, and we put it to our friend at Harvard, Jonathan Zittrain. Professor, how are you?
Very well, Ben.
Brad Miller wants to know, what is Bitcoin and how can I make $1 million off of them?
Yes, it's the get rich quick segment of Techsplainer. Bitcoin is itself a collective hallucination, as it turns out most currencies are, in which there is agreement that the units of currency will have some form of value. And the neat thing about Bitcoin is that there is a record as to who possesses it. And the only thing we need to make Bitcoin's kind of work at the fundamental level is a mechanism for me to be able to advertise in a way that nobody else can, that I, in fact, have pushed the Bitcoin to someone else.
It's kind of the closest thing to cash that exists as a virtual currency in the digital world.
The only major difference between cash and Bitcoin, well, there's probably two. Here's one of them. With Bitcoin, it's less about an object and more about how do you assure that I have the most recent instance of that object? And the answer is a network that records transactions, so-called chains.
So maybe not as trace resistant as many assume.
No, I think that's right. And I think that what the other big difference from cash is that there's no way to arbitrarily increase the number of bitcoins the way that a government can print more money.
So if I think of Bitcoin as strings and numbers with unique identifiers made by computers, how do you make more of them?
Well, there is a process in the protocol by which additional bitcoins can be hatched through the solution of agreed upon, arbitrary, really difficult problems.
Okay, so let's just talk briefly about the second half of the question, which is how can I make $1 million off of Bitcoin?
I can think of two ways to do it. One is to buy low and sell high, and the other is to sell high and buy low. I suppose a wild card might be is one betting that there isn't some flaw in the technology that could allow for the compromise of the entire Bitcoin system. And I got to say, my guess is more traditional banks will stop hating it and learn to love it and become the trusted intermediaries for moving Bitcoins around. And at that point, the currency will have come into its own.
Jonathan Zittrain, co-director of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society, and the man helping us with Techsplainer. Jonathan Zittrain, thank you very much.
A pleasure, Ben.
And before we go, related to the question of how you make $1 million with Bitcoin, there's been a rumor going around that Apple has been hiding a secret way to get free Bitcoin on its computers, and if you type a little bit of code onto your screen, you'll be rich. Instead, the code deletes vital files that keep your computer working, so don't fall for this. It's digital fool's gold. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.